Good to be with you, and I appreciate so much the efforts that Kyle's put in to sing songs we don't normally sing. Really enjoyed the song service this morning, and if you've not been coming to first service, you really missed a good sermon this morning by our dear brother Ted, and so I would urge you to, if you don't make it a priority, to change that, to be here at the 9 o'clock hour, to listen to some of these men present lessons that they've worked so hard to put together. And I appreciate his lesson so very much. It's jogged my memory for what I'm setting to do this week, and he had some great thoughts. If you will, take your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 7, verses 11 through 6. In Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11, it says this: "That happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him." I want us to note just a few things before I go any further in this text. I want us to consider who's present here. There are several people that are listed as being present in this text, and I want us to be keenly aware of what happens in this situation, as well as sympathize with the ones that are in this text and where they're at, what they're going through. I think it will do us well this morning to consider some of these thoughts. "And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gates of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." We talked about that in our adult Bible study this morning. "And said to her, do not weep." And before we go any further, consider who's here. Consider what's going on in the individual's lives, and consider what Jesus says in this situation. Today is a day we often call Mother's Day. And I've heard several of you say Happy Mother's Day. But is every day not Mother's Day? It's a day that we should honor our wives who have bore our children. It's a day that I know is special to me. But Mother's Day or not, consider this lady. Consider the emotions that she's going through. She's lost her husband, and she's lost her only son, and she's going to bury him. And Jesus, who's moved with compassion, sees this situation, stops the procession of the people, and they stop, and they listen to what Jesus is about to say. Take to heart what we'll study this morning. Verse 14. "And he," that's Jesus, "came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he," that's Jesus, "presented him to his mother." I want us to notice what verse 16 says. The result of this situation, the result of this woman's pain and agony, the result of this real life situation, Jesus steps in the middle and he breathes life into death, into a dead person. And because of his compassion, because of what he does, there's a result. There's a response to this. And in verse 16 it says this: "Then fear came upon all. And they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up amongst us." And I love this statement: God has visited his people. Often the case is when we look into the parables, we see that time and time again. It plays out with almost every parable. There's a message, there's a situation, there's a physical lesson, laid aside a spiritual lesson, and at the end of it, if we're smart, we see Jesus. We understand about the kingdom. We understand about what a kingdom citizen should be like. And we long to be part of God's wonderful family. You know, I've often said there are things I wish I could see. I've said it several times. I wish I could have stood on the side of the banks when the waters were rolled back and be able to see that and experience that and walk in between the walls of water on dry ground. That would have been amazing to see. But we often forget stories. I use that very loosely because it's not a story. It's a real life situation. We forget about these small illustrations. And the impact that this small illustration had on so many. There is a large gathering of people mixed with another large gathering of people. Filled with emotions. Not thinking about Jesus at the time, but Jesus comes and he presents a situation that causes them to think about Jesus. And the conclusion is they all glorified God. It's one thing to see it in this passage, but over and over and over again, we see the master teacher teach and be so effective with those that were listening. You know, it's kind of interesting in Mark chapter 5 and John chapter 11, there are other accounts where Christ raised individuals, raised them from the dead. Here I am wanting to walk across on dry ground and here seeing somebody who was dead, that was known to be dead, to come back to life. Why don't I want to be here? I hope this morning as we close out this passage that you'll put yourself in this scenario, this situation. And my hope and prayer is that at the end of this lesson, if you're not glorifying God with your life, that you will. And that you'll see that God has visited His people. He's here today. He's present with His family. I want us to consider first, there are four great powers in this text that I want us to consider. The first one being the most obvious that we see in this text, and that is death. Death is powerful. It affects us. It affects us to our core. In some situations, we have seen some walk away from the faith after experiencing a traumatic situation in their life, whether it's the death of their son or their daughter or their parents or a spouse. It shakes us to the core. If we remove God out of the picture. If we are more moved by feelings than truth. I don't know how many times I've sat in this situation, watching somebody suffer through an illness all along, which I don't know if you can see on the screen, which you can't. There's a little picture of a little girl over here who looks on with uncertainty. What's going to happen? What will life look like tomorrow? And the answer is, I don't know. And neither do you. But you do know what life looks like today. And when we look through the eyes of this woman, life looked very bleak, as I mentioned. Her husband's gone. Her only son is gone. She's all alone. She has felt death's cold grip on her life. And I've come to appreciate a few things about death. Death is a power against which all of us stand helpless. You know, we sat and listened to Brother Kevin talk about bringing somebody back to life and what that would be like and what kind of experience that would be to be part of a situation like that, where somebody's heart stops and the very next minute it begins beating again because of direct action of you. That's not the scenario here. Time has passed. They're carrying this man out of the city. Death is a power against which all of us stand helpless in. You know, I'm reminded of what it says in 1 Samuel. Turn with me over there for just a second. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, David speaks here, and he says something that's, in light of what we're talking about, that's very profound. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and in verse
3.
I want us to notice the latter part of this verse. But truly as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. I want us all to appreciate this morning that, like David, this is reality for us. We are but a step away from death. I remember some time ago being very distracted with the things that were around me. I was in Canada with my mom. We were visiting together. We went downtown into the city, and we were distracted by all the buildings. At least I was. My mom saw it on a regular basis, but I was distracted with the building. And I began to walk, looking up, and I felt this hand grab me and pull me back. And it was my mom. I was about to walk into traffic. I don't know which would have been hurt more, the car or myself, but I was a step possibly away from dying. She saved my life. I believe that to this day. The reality of it is that all of us stand one step away from death. This was a reality for David. David understood this. This was very real to him. But I wonder, the prosperous times that we live in and the good doctors and nurses that serve us on a regular basis, if we almost have a feeling that we'll die when we feel like dying. We won't say that, but we sure live like it, don't we? Death can strike, and strike at the most unexpected times. Did a funeral down in Berksville, Kentucky for a little infant. I mentioned this before. The father rolled over on this child and suffocated it to death while it slept, waking up to find his son dead. We can talk about the older dying. Very real to us. We've known people that are advanced in age that have died. But the reality of it is, death comes for us all at the most, as I mentioned, the most unexpected times for us. How is that possible? How is it that I'm in this situation? Here's this mother who's buried her husband and is now burying her son. That's not how life should work. I know that's not how I want my life to work. I hope I never have to bury my children. But the reality of it is, all of us, each and every one of us, are a step away from death. And we see the power of death in this text, reaching and touching this woman in two very unique ways. And then we have this young man who's laying there, dead before noon, as far as the thought of life. Dead in the morning hours of his life. You see, we live in a society that does everything that we possibly can do to keep ourselves young and invent ways to prolong life. But the hour is coming, and the hour will reach all of us at some point in our life. It's a universal power. It's the respecter of no one, as Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8 teaches us. And I know when it comes time for death to lay its clammy hand upon my shoulder, I will lay down whatever I'm doing and go. And that's what we see in this example here in Luke. We need to recognize it, and all of us need to prepare for it. Death is powerful, and if you don't believe that, then you've not experienced somebody dying who has been very close to you. It affects us in ways we would not imagine. But there are other things, more positive things, that we find listed in this example that are powerful. We find love listed in this text, and it is one of the powerful things that we see. Love is the underlining power that does not cease. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, "Love never fails." I love my grandfather. I don't use that in past tense, although he's gone. I love my grandfather. Death separates us, but the love is still there. And I think in this situation of this mother who is about to bury her son, she loves this son. I can't imagine the situation, the heartache, the pain that she would have felt in this situation, but I do know that love exists because she is carrying her son out to bury him. Just like we do when somebody passes. It got me thinking about God. Brother Nick talked about around the Lord's Supper this morning already. John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved this world, the people in this world, so much that He sent His Son to become that perfect sacrifice for us, to endure the awful crucifixion so that you can have the hope, the opportunity of heaven. And it's obvious as we look into this text, that is demonstrated as Jesus is moved with compassion. John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 teaches us that Jesus is God. And God is moved with compassion in this text for one who is hurting. One who has been touched by death. And Him moved by compassion demonstrates His love for this individual as well as us today. Look at this sad scene. A dead man, a dead young man, his mother, his friends, and a grave that's been prepared. The widow not only weeps for her son's death, but probably is thinking about her husband's death as well. Probably contemplating the same ideas that we would in a situation similar to this. Why me? Why must the power of death touch my house twice? The widow weeps. In Isaiah chapter 63, there's a text that I've recently come in contact with. I've spent a lot of time in this text appreciating what it has for me in my life today. I firmly believe that deity suffers too. That as God looks down upon us and He sees children who are hurting, He is affected. We see this in Isaiah chapter 63 in a verse 8 beginning where it says this, "And He said, surely they are My people, children who will not lie. So He became their Savior. In all their affliction, He is afflicted." And then in the latter part of verse 9, "And the angel of His presence saved them. In His love, in His pity, He redeems them. And He bore them and carried them all the days of old." I read a text like that and we get the glimpse into deity itself and how deity feels when His people suffer. For us, we see Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 2, and it teaches us that love of others makes our burdens light or lighter. When we step outside our world and we love others, it makes the very load that we are carrying lighter. At least it should. Because it opens to us relationships that can help bear one another's load and ultimately do what God wants us to do, and that's fulfill His work here on this side of eternity. Love and appreciation at home brightens our day. I can't imagine what fellas like Nick Hall experiences when he's gone away all day and comes home and that little girl runs to him to his arms. Or the first time a father holds his daughter and catches a glimpse of a smile for the first time. Or when an aged son who's ready to leave the home tells his mother and father, "Thank you so much for all that you've done for me." You see, love and appreciation brightens our day. It makes all the cares of this world go away. Respect and love among brethren is pleasant. I used to read frequently from the pulpit here. The text that we read in Psalm chapter 133, 133 and verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When this happens, when love is demonstrated, when respect is given and earned amongst the brethren, it is a pleasant thing to come together. The Savior loves us. He bears our pains and offers to carry our sorrows and establishes a family to demonstrate the love that He desires us to have and is found in Him. You see, in this text, we not only see death, we not only see the power of death, we see love, but not only the power of love in this text, the love of a mother towards the son, a love that caused Jesus to stop and shower compassion upon this situation, but we also see the powers of tears as well. I will also tell you that if you've not been coming to our men's adult Bible study, you really should. Brother Art taught it this past week and did a fabulous job. But I'll tell you, he really got me when he started shedding tears. The emotions that were there. And fighting through those tears, the words that he was trying to convey to the class were profound, at least to me. You see, we see the powers of tears in this text. A mother weeps behind a casket. As the casket is going forth, here is this mother, this widow. She is in mourning for this situation, for this young man. Because of him dying and passing. If not careful, you might miss what happened here. The responsibility of being a man was passed down from his father who died to him. He had to grow up faster than probably others in this same in normal circumstances with a mother and father. He had to grow up much faster. Kind of like what would happen today with us. You see, that's a layer of this that I often think about. Go back to our text, Luke chapter 17. I want us to consider for just a moment this morning, verse 13. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13. I want us to notice what happens here. How powerful tears can be. Notice verse 13. When the Lord saw her. And we often talk about Jesus and how he had the power to look within a person, to truly see the inside, the heart, the emotion, the feelings of a person. And that is true in this text. But what's recorded for us is that when he saw her, when he saw her appearance, there were things about her that caused him to have compassion on her. Those of you that are married and have watched your wife cry about something that means so much to her, understand why Jesus moved here. And Jesus responds with, "Weep not." Don't weep. And what we need to come and appreciate in our lives is that in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17, there will come a time for us where we no longer have to weep. We never have to go through the problems of this life again. Psalm chapter 6 teaches us that tears are a relief valve for the soul. Any of you cried and felt much better and seen more clearly after a cry? Guys, we can admit that. It clears us. It soothes our soul. Medically, that's true as well. It does us good. And in this situation, the tears flowed from emotion, but fell on truth. And that's powerful in this text. All of us need to understand that there will come a time, no matter how awful life is for you now, that if we remain faithful unto death, He will give us a crown of righteousness. He'll allow us entrance into eternity with the very person that created us. The very God that created us. I also want us to consider very quickly in closing this morning, we have to see the power of Christ in this text as well. In Luke chapter 7, I think it's interesting to me in verse 14, he came and touched the coffin, and those who carried him stood still. You know, one might say, well, he touched the coffin, that's the power. I don't necessarily think that's the power here. I think the coffin was moving, and he grabbed hold of it to stop the situation and got close to this man. And notice what's stated next. And he said, there is power in what God says. And we see that play here. God possesses all power. In Matthew chapter 28, it teaches us that Jesus has all power. And there'll come a time where he'll turn everything, turn the kingdom and everything back to the Father. But he possesses all power. And Jesus, as he stood at this coffin, he spoke to this dead man and he said to him, arise. He arose. It shouldn't surprise us in this text. We know what John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 teaches us. He was there in the beginning. All things were created through him. He was the Word, is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Before anything was created, he was there, he was present. Shouldn't surprise us for him to walk alongside a casket and stop the parade of people and tell that person, arise, and that person come up from the dead. Can you imagine for just a moment being one of the mourners and this happens? I watched a funny video one time, and they were trying to prank people, and they were in a funeral home, and they were trying to show people caskets. They were inviting people in. They were offering a sale. They weren't there to bury their loved one. I guess we should understand that. They were offering a sale on casket. And so people, they were pushing people in that didn't really want to even come in to begin with. And when they got in there, they had a room situated with a man laying in a casket. And you could tell very quickly, none of them wanted to go in that room, but they ushered them in there. And then about halfway through showing them this casket, telling them to knock on it, look at all the wood grain and all that other stuff, up this person sat. Well, you can imagine the surprise of those people, being uncomfortable to be there, thinking this person is dead, and then boom, they sit up and start talking with them. Ha ha, they laugh a few minutes later, it's a joke, but that's not here. That's not the scenario here. These people are cut to the heart, they are mourning the death of this young person. And we see the power of God displayed. I want us to notice as we begin to close out this lesson, verses 14 and 15. And he came and touched the coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, arise, young man. I say to you, arise. So the individual who was dead sat up and began to speak. What a wonderful picture for the mother who was once weeping for her son. Jesus says, here's your son. Imagine how she would feel in this situation. This man's dead. And we see the power of God's irresistible power demonstrated in this text. This man did nothing to have this happen. He didn't do anything to cause this power to come upon him. But it's here. It's present. He didn't ask for it, but it's demonstrated. And we don't often think about, what did this guy say when he sat up? He's dead. And he sat up and he begins to speak. What did he speak? I don't know. The text doesn't reveal that to us. But I know he knows where he's at. And you got to believe that he understands what has happened. Jesus has unlimited power, and we have to believe that. He can take the ugliest of situations and wash them and make them clean and whole again. He can take situations that seem so bleak and so hopeless and breathe life into that situation. We see all of that on display in this account in the book of Luke. Where hopelessness once existed, life is breathed back in. Here it is. The power of God on display for us. And we think our problems are big. We think our situations are hard and difficult. Here's a lady that lost her husband, lost her son, and now has her son again. I see some similarities in the prodigal son illustration. Son is once there, then he's gone, and then he's back again. There's hope in God. There's always hope as long as we're breathing. I put before you this morning, if you're here and not right with God, why not become right with Him? We talked about the power of God this morning. We've seen that although your situation might be bleak and horrible, if you turn to God, He can take the ugly and make beautiful. He can take the hopeless and breathe hope. You know, the hope that we're speaking about is not wishful thinking, but it's an expectation to receive. That's the way God wants you to live your life. And if you're here and you're Christian, you've been wavering with your faith, you've been trusting in man and not in God, it's time for you to come home again. And trust in the God that we read about in the Bible. Trust in the one who sent his son to die for you, to give you the hope of heaven. If we can help you in any way to make your life right with him, whether it's to take your confession and baptize you this morning, or as a child of God, to correct some error in your life, now is the time. Don't put it off. As Brother Nick says, don't leave here not ready to meet your Lord. The time is now. You have the opportunity. As we stand and sing, what will you do with it? As we stand.